on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Invest Talk. I'm glad you're here. It is Tuesday, November 24th, the day before Thanksgiving. And because it's the day before Thanksgiving, I have Justin Klein with me.
I'm ready to eat.
Yeah, I can't
don't know about
wait.
You.
I'm looking forward to it.
You're going to have a big crowd.
I always have a big crowd. I think we only have, though, this time only about 35, 40 people.
That's low?
Yeah, last year we had close to 60. And the most we've ever had is about 70. And that's, by the way, it's all family, everybody. It's not, you know.
Lots of nieces and nephews.
Yeah, a few other people, but not too many. Most of them are just family. Anyways, welcome to Invest Talk. We appreciate you being with us today. And speaking, we're going to talk about perspective. And as you know, we look at the market. We look at the market constantly, Justin and I. And the market this year hasn't been very inspiring. And I wrote in my market commentary on investtalk.com, this has been a poor year for stock returns. There are just a handful of very large companies that have held the indexes up, i.e. Google, Netflix, Amazon, Nike. But the internals have been weak for most of the year.
And I talked about this yesterday. About 60% of the S&P 500 companies are down 10% or more for the year. And about 135, which I think is about 23%, are down over 20%. So they're in a bear market.
Yeah. So the poor performance has been driven by fear of the Fed, who's going to start raising rates. That's one of the things have been. And the lack of overall corporate profits,
earnings. Two quarters have been negative.
Yeah. So, you know, how's the market going to react? With the Fed raising rates, what does that do? The Fed is pulling liquidity from the market, right? By stopping QE last year, it was like taking away gasoline from a fire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the fire still might burn, but with much less intensity.
And the strong dollar also does that.
The other source of fuel, earnings growth, is extremely important in driving market higher. We don't have that. Without growth, the market will falter and decline. The Fed raising rates is taking more fuel away. But their argument is the economy will pick up on its own, that it can handle it, that the fire will rekindle itself in some way, driving earnings growth and will boost stock indexes. I don't think that could happen. That's possible, but we'll have to wait and see. So what the Fed has done and what they will do next month is already built into the market.
Mm-hmm.
That's already in there. We know what they're going to do. So now the market's kind of on this cusp. Mm-hmm. We don't know which way it's going to run.
Yeah, it's kind of, we had the big breakdown at the end of August. Market stayed kind of low throughout September. And then after the bad jobs report for September, the market rallied. And we rallied back to close to new highs where we broke down. But it hasn't really been able to break through. But it also isn't breaking back down either. So, you know, kind of almost in no man's land.
It hasn't made its mind. And you know, my theory is we probably will get a Christmas rally.
Or it could stay in no man's land, just go sideways.
Yeah, it could. It could go down too. I don't have a crystal ball.
Yeah.
I just, based on my experience over the many years, people are excited about the end of the year and they tend to, you know, boost stock prices. But we'll see. That may not have a reason to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So while you're looking at your account, your 401k, your 403b, whatever it is, you're probably going to be pretty disappointed this year. So don't think you're alone. You're not. All you can do is construct a well-diversified portfolio. That's basically all you can do. Yes, you can hedge yourself a little bit with some cash. You can take some cautions. But, you know, over the long run, you're not going to know which way the market's going to go. You don't. So be very, very careful. Now, do you have questions maybe about organizing your accounts? That alone can make a difference, you know, being organized. Help you avoid duplication and maybe, you know, replace some funds that just won't work in the future. So let's talk about it. Our number is 888-99-CHART.
Hi, my name is Tyler. I'm a podcast listener from Ohio. I have a question. I know this is a little outside of what you normally hear about the stock market investing in like stocks and bonds, but I'm curious how you go about valuing a rental property that you're looking for or looking into as an investment opportunity. I figure it has to be different from looking at a home because you're not buying it for the same reasons necessarily. You're buying it for an income stream versus like hoping for the appreciation, but I have no idea how I would begin evaluating properties like this, but it's definitely a field that I'm interested in getting into. Thanks a lot, and thanks for the show. Bye.
Well, there it's not that much difference because you still want a return on invested dollars.
You want positive cash flow, just like really any other investment. And one thing I like about what he's talking about is he's looking at the cash flow. He's not saying, "Oh, how much money can I make on appreciation of the house?" Which, as you know, with depending on the market and the economy, that can be up and down. But if cash flow is solid and the numbers make sense, then over the long term, that's going to be a good hold.
Yeah, just think about, if you put $100,000 in, how much is that going to produce? Yeah, how much? And he's in Ohio, so the real estate market there is probably not nearly as dynamic as on the West Coast or the East Coast or certain places other than in the Midwest. Midwest is generally pretty stable. So you need to look on return on invested capital. How
Yeah.
much money is coming out?
Well, what you got to look at is how much is your carrying cost for that property. And I wrote an article on this last month on the cost of home ownership, and this includes if you're investing as well. And there's a lot more that people kind of overlook. They most likely they think of their mortgage, maybe some taxes, maybe insurance. But very few look beyond that, and there's a lot more costs. And you know this as being a landlord before. You always say keep 1 month of rent, subtract that from the calculation because you never know. So they might move out, and you might have to put some carpet in, and you're gonna have the place vacant for a month,
I used to have numerous properties, and 1 month of 1 month a year, I would set aside for people when they do move. The longer they stay there, the more they mess the place up, and the more you have to fix it when you come back in. So you want to have that money ready.
Yeah. So you have to make sure you understand all of the costs of carrying that property, and then what's your rental income?
And remember, you get to depreciate over 27 and a half years, so you get a tax write-off that's not, there's hardly any tax write-offs anymore, so that's one of them.
Yeah.
And then anything you put into it, is always tax deductible off of your profits, if any, from the property. Anyways, it's not that much difference. It's just a different way to look at invested dollars.
Yeah, just make sure that you're not overlooking costs and you're not overestimating how much you can get from rent as well.
And if you want help with real estate, we might be able to do that for you. You can
Yeah.
give us a
I'm a
call.
licensed real estate agent, so if you want to give me a call, we can talk about that a little bit more.
Debt, it turns out, can be a kind of friend. I'm not a big person on debt. You know that, personal debt. But even though I'm not, there is good debt and bad debt out there. So you just have to be smart about the debt. And that's going to be one of our talking points today. Also, we're going to discuss, they revised the third quarter GDP and came out with some stats today. I want to discuss that a little bit if we can. I want to talk about the unions, specifically the auto unions, which negotiated and settled their contracts last week, I think it was. I want to talk about that. What does that mean for salaries going forward? And finally, I want to talk about the economies in Europe. Three specific stats I want to discuss. Germany, Greece, and South Africa. And you're going to say, well, those are three different things.
Yeah,
Yeah,
quite different.
they're very different. So what do I want to talk about them? Because it's something I think is interesting. So again, you don't have to talk about it, but you drive the show. You can call us. We'll talk about anything that's on your mind. So if you don't want me to talk about Germany, Greece, and South Africa, you got to call. 888-99-CHART is our number. The market was up today. It started off weak, but turned around. Dow was up 19, the S&P up, the Nasdaq up 1, the S&P up 2.
Yeah, so, and it was down early because of what happened over in Turkey.
Yeah.
The Turkish military shot down a Russian jet.
Well, it's interesting. We have a holding of a bank in Turkey, and that got pretty much clobbered today, down about 5-6%. Uh-huh. All because of that. Nothing to do with the bank.
Yep.
Might mean opportunity. You never know.
Yeah.
Next month, I will be meeting with individual listeners, looking over their retirement documents and making some suggestions. These are no cost, no obligation, informal meetings that I do, you know, one or two times a month in our satellite offices. My next date is La Jolla, San Diego County, on December 2nd, and then San Ramon in Northern California on December 9th. You can reserve your spot, your 1 hour, by clicking on Catch Schedule a Meeting on InvestTalk.com.
Hello, this is Jim in Atlanta. I listen on podcasts every day. Enjoy your show very, very much. I had a question for you about Pfizer and its new purchase of Allergan. It seems like that's going to be a really good deal to buy Pfizer right now. I'm looking at Allergan, and it looks like next year they're looking at making $16 a share. Pfizer makes $2-something a share. So put them together, that's a pretty hefty stock, I think. And I just wonder what you guys thought about it. Looks like a no-brainer to me, but not a professional trader. So anyway, well, thanks a lot, and I appreciate your input. Thanks.
First of all, he's looking at that wrong.
Yeah, he is.
You can't combine the two stocks and think they're going to all of a sudden make that amount of shares outstanding or per share, because they have different amount of shares outstanding. Allergan has 393 million shares outstanding. And Pfizer has, let's see, 6 billion shares outstanding. So you have to look at that total net income, not per share.
Yeah, what we're talking about is Pfizer is buying Allergan. Mm-hmm. And one of the issues here is that they're going to be moving the corporate headquarters offshore. And it's been a big political thing out there. And mm-hmm. So that makes me a little bit nervous about this whole deal, mm-hmm. Whether it will go through or not. I'm not so convinced.
Yeah. Or Pfizer's almost kind of giving the middle finger to the government and saying, yeah, well, stop us. And because they know that this is going to get scrutiny. But I think it's Ireland, right?
Yes.
They're trying to move to Ireland.
It's Allergan in Ireland? Is that what it is?
I think so.
So what they're going to do is, let me make sure that, yes. Uh-huh. What they're going to do is reformulate the company or move the headquarters to Ireland. Mm-hmm. And therefore,
from New York.
From Pfizer in New York. Therefore, avoiding taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and there's nothing wrong with that, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. If we, meaning the U.S., was a little bit smarter in their tax policy, this wouldn't be happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been happening over and over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. So the government has to do something, but they're not.
Yeah, and for example, I guess I don't have the tax rate here in Allergan, but the Pfizer's tax rate is about 24%.
Mm-hmm.
So they obviously see a way to create some synergies and reduce their own tax rate on the profits they're making, which are substantial.
Yeah, probably. I want to say it's in the mid-teens,
mm-hmm.
15-16%.
Yeah.
Outside the United States. U.S. has one of the highest corporate tax rates in the world.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. does.
What's interesting, though, is Pfizer didn't go up during this when this was announced. It went down.
Which... Does that mean that investors think it might not go through?
Either that, or they don't want to deal with the uncertainty around it.
Yeah.
So I would stay away from it.
I would too. Our InvestTalk Anytime number is 888-99-CHART. When you sign up to the InvestTalk to be an InvestTalk Insider, you have instant access to our whole catalog of InvestTalk webinars. Soon we'll have the last one up there. Building a strong portfolio with less risk and finding strong dividend-paying stocks. It will be on there online to watch when you're ready. Sign up for free on InvestTalk.com.
What is investing on margin? Or what's your question? Why not ask it now at 888-99-CHART on InvestTalk. Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Socially responsible investing is growing in popularity, but there are more options than people may know about, more than stocks, mutual funds, or ETFs. What investors should know about green bonds. That's one of our talking points for Wednesday's podcast. We hope you can be joining us then.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We're going to talk to James in New York. He's a podcast listener. Thanks for calling, James. Appreciate it.
Yes, of course. How are you doing, Steve?
Good. Thank you.
I wanted to ask about Kate, K-A-T, ticker symbol Kate. I know it's maybe coming back from some lows it had earlier in the year. Wondered if it might be a reasonable stock to invest in as a trade, as a short-term trade, Kate.
Well, you might get a bounce if you look at a chart. Looking at a chart, but for everybody else, Kate Spade and Company markets apparel, accessories, fragrances under Liz Claiborne, Kate Spade, Jack Spade, and other brand names. It's a $2.6 billion company. So it's not tiny. It's decent size.
Mm-hmm. It's come down a lot from about $36 high of $42 last year. And now we're at $20.51 at the close today. But that's, you know, up from about $17 at its lows in late August.
So that's a bear market, everybody, for this particular stock, right?
Yeah.
I mean, as we talked about earlier, how many stocks have fallen really, really hard, and this is one of them. Mm-hmm. And if you're talking about a trade, the fundamentals look pretty decent. Earnings are going to be up 50 cents a share in 2015 from 25 cents last year, and then another 83 cents next year. That's another 66%. Sales looks like they're stabilizing, but still growing. The growth is stabilizing, maybe 10, 11% or so. Mm-hmm.
They do have a lot of debt. That worries me a little bit. But on a technical perspective, it has made higher highs and higher lows ever since that low in late August. So technically, that means it's strengthening on a short-term basis.
So you might get a bounce.
Yeah, but long-term, you know, you go to a weekly chart, it's still pretty weak. And there's not going to be a ton of upside. So could it get an upside into the mid-20s? Sure, but I don't see it getting much above the 24, 25 level in the next, you know, few months or so.
So what you're hoping for is a good Christmas season.
Yeah.
That will drive earnings, which will drive the stock, you know, everybody get excited about, you know.
Yeah, there'll be analysts. Hopefully, you're going to see analysts come out with upgrading the stock because they see more foot traffic in their stores, or you know, in Nordstrom's buying their stuff, etc. Channel checks and things like that. So that's what you're really hoping for. Technically, I'd give it maybe a 7 out of 10. So it's pretty good, but I don't love it just because it's the bigger chart pattern, the longer-term chart pattern, is in a downtrend, whereas the shorter-term chart pattern is showing some signs of life. So short-term trade, I would say it's above average, but I would have a tight stop on it.
Thanks, James. Appreciate the call. Thank you. Let's go to Soam in San Jose. How you doing, Soam? I want to talk about Credit Suisse. How you doing?
Yeah, doing good. Thanks. Actually, I asked a question about the CSCO symbol. So how it's going to be, and what is the exit point for it?
Was it CS what?
CSCO. Cisco.
Oh, Cisco. There we go. Cisco.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, our screener got the wrong one. Okay. He wants to talk about Cisco Systems. Manufacturer switches, routers, and other networking. Everybody knows who they are. They're very big, $138 billion company. Doing decently for a big blue chip stock. It's doing pretty good. Going to earn 3% increase in sales this year, maybe 5% next year earnings. Mm-hmm. Sales are about the same, 3 to 5%. Nothing exciting about the company or anything like that. It's a big blue chip stock company paying 3.1%.
Yeah, to me it's kind of like buying a floating rate bond. You're going to get that 3.1%. It's safe.
Dividend yield.
Dividend. They're probably going to raise it slowly. Nothing dramatic because their earnings growth isn't dramatic, and it probably isn't going to be. But they do have a low payout ratio, only about 44%, meaning they have room to increase that dividend even if their earnings don't, you know, go gangbusters. Low debt.
Yeah, pretty
I like
low debt.
That.
Yeah.
You know, good cash flow. Very strong, steady free cash flow. But like you said, there's no growth. So what are you looking for, Sam?
Yeah.
So what is the exit point? Like when I should sell those stocks?
When should you sell it? I'd say if it breaks below the 23 level, then I would get out. But until then, I would just hold it.
Thanks, Sam. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Bill in Bay Area. How you doing, Bill?
I am doing well. I heard you mention the U.S. corporate tax rate as being the highest in the world.
One of the highest.
However, as we all know, they don't pay that. The effective tax rate for corporations is somewhere between 12 and 13%.
Yeah.
In other words,
if you adjust it.
Of the large companies that are paying it are not paying anywhere near the maximum.
Yeah, that's true, because there's a lot of loopholes that, you know, their lobbyists put in the tax code. And so effectively, yes, their tax code, but it's not like we're the lowest, effectively. We're still one of the highest if you go effective tax code or tax rate.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter, you know, top line, bottom line. We are in competition with other countries, you know, and we're at a disadvantage. Our corporations are at a disadvantage. Why do you think that they're leaving? Because they want to take advantage. I wish we could get together.
Don't want to pay, you know, 6% even.
Well,
you know,
no one wants to. Do you? Does anybody want to pay taxes?
No.
So you use the loopholes they provide, but it just seems awful silly. Why don't we get rid of the loopholes and you know, have a better, more sane tax code? But
that would take politicians that have common sense and are not corrupted by money.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
Well, I mean, sometimes there's reasons for loopholes, you know, like for the individuals as well. But I did want to ask you about, what do you think about Exxon as a Chevron? I'm sorry.
Well, if you asked about both those, we own both of them. We own both of them. We bought them when they were
a while. Yeah, we bought them a few months ago.
Yeah, when everybody hated them, thought they were. So now it's come up. So we still like them, but you might want to wait for a pullback to buy them into them.
Yep.
Thanks for the call. 888-99-CHART. That's our anytime number.
This is InvestTalk for Tuesday, November 24th. 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We're going to talk about debt. What is good debt versus bad debt? You know, should you have debt? Well, I'm not a big proponent of debt, because most people have a heck of a time working their way out of debt.
But there are some ways that you can kind of game the system if you're responsible. Obviously, one is the 0% APR credit cards. You know, doing balance transfers and things like that. That can help you if you're trying to fight your way out of debt. But it's if you're not disciplined, it's not smart. And especially the ones where, you know, you go in, you buy a TV or refrigerator, and they give you 0% interest for 18 months, right? Or well, the problem is if you don't pay that whole balance off in 18 months, you got to pay all this accrued interest. So you're accruing interest for all that time, but you have to pay it all off by the end date. Otherwise, you get charged all that interest. Well, I think those are one of the biggest scams out there.
Yeah, so that's not really free.
Yeah, it's free if you're responsible enough to make sure 100% that you're going to pay it off by the end of that term.
Yeah. You know, there's other debts. If you want to talk about good debt, I like real estate debt, especially in this day and age with the rates so low. I can handle you handling that kind of debt as an investment, you know, if you do it right.
What about auto debt now? A lot of auto debt, you can get 2% interest.
Well, if you need a new car, and there's the, to me, there's the word need. Do you need a new car? Then, okay, I have no problem with it. But remember, a car is a depreciating asset. It's getting worth less and less and less as times go by. So don't think you're still paying it and you bought an asset that depreciates. Whereas a house usually doesn't depreciate, and at least you have cash flow coming back.
What about medical debts? You know, a lot of medical debts, they usually don't have interest. You know, you can do a payment plan with most medical offices, and you won't carry that. You won't cost you anything on the debt side or on the interest side.
And just so you know, that if something bad happens in your family, or, you know, to you or your wife, your kids, and you, all of a sudden you got a $10,000 medical bill that, even after insurance, just so you know, you can generally negotiate that number.
Yeah.
So don't think you have to pay the whole $10,000 off. You know, if you get a huge hit like that, you can talk to the providers, and they usually will take some off for you.
Yeah, negotiate a payment plan. As long as you're making payments, they're usually pretty happy. And the credit bureaus, the major credit bureaus, now are not reporting bad medical debt for 180 days. So it's going to take a while for it to hit your credit report. But in the meantime, you need to set up a payment plan so that it doesn't hit your credit report, which would obviously be bad.
We're here for your beginner or experienced investor, 888-99-CHART. If you're a podcast listener and you can't reach us during our live program, we're live 4 to 5 Pacific time every day, you still can call.
Hi, my name is John. I'm calling from Walnut Creek. I listen to you on podcast. I have a question about calculating total free cash flow for a company. I'm looking at Yahoo Finance, and they have operating cash flow listed and levered free cash flow listed. Is the total cash flow just the addition of the two, or is one better used than the other? I know Morningstar also has it listed down as operational cash flow and free cash flow. So I just wasn't sure if you just add the two or if there's one that's better than the other. Thank you, and I look forward to hearing you on your next show. Bye-bye.
You certainly don't add the two. Do you? That's not how you. That's not what it's.
So he's trying to find the difference between operating cash flow and free cash flow.
Yes, that's how I took the question.
Yeah, they're usually pretty similar. There are some slight differences to it, but usually operating cash flow is cash flow from their operations, their business. Now, there's always three types of ways companies get money in, right? One is from financing, and that could be issuing bonds. They get money onto their balance sheet. They issue shares, preferred shares, common stock, etc., and they get money in that way. Or there's investing activity, so they can own, for example, Apple. They have a bunch of cash, right? So they invest that cash, and
they can borrow the money too.
Yeah. Well, that's from financing. It's borrowing money, issuing debt, borrow the money. That's from financing activity. And then cash from investing is investments that you hold. And then there's cash from operations. And that's your traditional business. If you're a manufacturing company, is what cash flow are you getting from your operating business? And that is probably the most important, because free cash flow, you can fudge that a little bit with accounting by getting cash flow in through financing or investing activities. You want to know is based on their main business, their operations, how much cash flow they're making. So that's the most important figure.
888-99-CHART. We're here for you. Beginner experience, doesn't matter. Give us a call. We'd love to talk to you. Time for InvestTalk Personal, the day-to-day money choices that can have a lasting impact. There are many tools to help you decide how much you'll need to save for various needs to put together your goals. One is called Ballpark Estimates. It's a single-page worksheet created by American Savings Education Council. Again, it's called Ballpark Estimate, and it can give you a calculation when you need to save, how much per year, how much for retirement, those kinds of things. The Financial Industry Regulatory's FINRA has a college savings calculator. They have the Social Security Administration has a benefits calculator. All these companies, there's many ways to determine how much you can save and how much it will end up being in the future.
Yeah, I think the Social Security benefits calculator is great. It's pretty simple to use. It's easy. You just go to Google, type that in. It'll come up. And so you know, okay, when I hit 62, I can take my benefits, which you probably don't want to do, but you can get X amount. And then your full retirement age, whether it's 66 or 67, what you're going to get. And then the full set at 7 years old, how much you'd get. So you can kind of start as using that as a baseline for how much income you are going to start to get in retirement. And then you obviously have to layer on whether it's a pension or pulling money out of retirement accounts like an IRA.
Or, you know, maybe you're getting money from rental properties. You know, different sources of income you've got to count.
Exactly.
So if you want, we have some of these, a list of these. If you need them to find them, it's pretty simple. You can just Google it and find any of these calculators. They're all over the place. But, you know, we'll help you with that. You can click on Contact Steve, or you can call me at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial. Look at the Dynamic Growth Program, Flexible Management for Optimum Returns. To find out more about any of the KPP investment programs, click on the Investments tab on InvestTalk.com.
Hi, Steve and Justin. Wondering your thoughts on Fortress Investment Group, FIG. I'm looking to get into this stock at the right spot and wondering your thoughts generally about it and what a good entry point would be. Thank you so much. Take care.
Fortress Investment Group, everybody. It is out of New York. It provides asset management services via private equity funds, hedge funds, publicly traded alternative investment vehicles. this kind of investment is very, very volatile about earnings.
Mm-hmm. Because they help and they support the industries that take really the most risks in the financial industry, which are hedge funds and private equity groups. Remember, private equity groups, what they do is they go and they borrow a bunch of money usually to buy out companies, and they merge them with other companies, make them more efficient, and squeeze out as much earnings as they can and pay off that debt. Well, that's good when the economy is good, but when all of a sudden the economy is not so good and earnings are much harder to squeeze out and that debt is a lot harder to carry, things can get pretty rocky.
And you're probably looking at the earnings for this year. They're going to make 69 cents a share. Next year, 93 cents. And you see, wow, that's great growth because it's growing nicely. And you're probably looking at sales growth. But I'll point out that in 2011, they lost $2.36 a share.
Mm. They lost money every year from 2008 to 2011.
Yeah. So think how volatile that is. Yeah,
and a lot of money. They didn't lose a little bit.
Yeah. And that's the type of thing you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. It's going to go
And it's in a downtrend. You know, been in a big downtrend. It was a high of $8 or so earlier this year, and now it's at $5.53. And they just closed down one of their big hedge funds because it wasn't doing very well.
Yeah, it's not for me. It's just not steady enough. It's a big $2.4 billion company. It's just not consistent enough, and I can't tell what it's really going to do in the future.
Yeah, very, very high risk.
888-99 chart. Okay, well, GDP got revised today for the third quarter. It went from 1.5% growth to 2.1%. That's a pretty big revision. Almost all of it was because of inventory build in the third quarter. Now, that's not necessarily bad if that inventory gets sold. And, of course, they're hoping that it's going to get sold in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. But that was a pretty decent jump. We're going to have one more revision. This is not final. But they'll have one more revision before we're done with it. And in that same report, they changed the savings rate from 4.6% to 5%. Now, you would think, well, that's really great. Well, not necessarily for the economy, it isn't. It's good and it's bad. You know, you have to look at it in both lights. Mm-hmm. For instance, just so you know, almost all that money that they're saving is how much money they saved not paying gasoline.
Yeah, they didn't really use that savings to go out and spend.
That's right.
Saying.
They saved it. Yeah. So all that money they saved on gasoline, they saved it, which is not a bad thing because it's money in the bank and it's good for the overall economy. Mm-hmm. But it's not. We are consumer driven.
Yeah, I think you have to really keep an eye on that inventory level because that's where you get a lot of issues. Right now, there's a good ratio that I follow. It's called the U.S. total business inventory to sales ratio, meaning how much is an inventory versus what is the sales rate. Like you said, if inventory is high, it's not a big deal as long as things are selling.
It's a sell-through.
Yeah, the sell-through. And right now, it's at 1.38, which is the highest level it's been since 2009 when we were in a recession. So usually if inventory is too high, that means in the future – manufacturers are going to stop producing.
Down.
They're going to slow down because they need to unload the inventory before they make new one.
Yeah. So we're going to have to keep a close eye. I think the inventory. And then it goes all back. We talked about earlier. It goes all the way back to, well, what do you think the Christmas season is going to be like?
Mm-hmm. Is it going to be strong and suck up a lot of that inventory?
Exactly.
Or is it going to be weak and that inventory is going to continue to
and
build?
We might know that by Monday after Black Friday weekend here.
I'm going to buy a bunch.
We're going to get a hint anyway. We'll get a hint. Yeah. Let's go to John in the Bay Area. How you doing, John? John?
Hi, Steve. Hi, Steve. Hi, Justin. I love the show.
Thank you.
Curious about maybe acquiring VTR, Victor, Tom, Robert. What do you think about that?
Well, Ventas, Inc., it's a REIT, real estate investment trust, that owns and leases senior housing, healthcare-related properties in 46 states. I will say this. I kind of like this area. I kind of like this area because of the baby boomer population. You know, is the big slug of us. I'm included in that. And we're going to need senior housing and healthcare-related properties. Mm-hmm. And it's a big company, $17.5 billion.
Mm-hmm. And the REITs have been – this is a real estate investment trust, and the whole sector has really been hit. And this has not been sheltered from the pain. It had a high of 73 back in 2013. before, you know, that, and that was when the Fed really started talking about tapering their QE and all that, and that really hit a lot of interest rate sensitive sectors, including real estate. And now we're at $53 a share, call it.
What's the chart look like?
The chart is still pretty weak, and that's really the biggest issue. I agree with Steve. I like the industry it's in. I've actually looked at a few of these REITs recently. I'll say this. It wasn't my favorite in the sector, meaning it wasn't my favorite healthcare REIT in the sector. I can't tell you which one it was, but if you do some more research, it does not start with an S.
Okay. Not the one I'm thinking of. So your big problem, the reason why it's fallen is because of interest rates. I mean, the Fed has been signaling, you know, they're going to raise rates. And, of course, this REITs carry so much debt.
Yeah, yields 5.5%, which is nice. I think long term, if you buy this and you're willing to hold it for 5+ years, you're going to do
fine.
Yeah. But the question is are rising interest rates going to be a headwind to REITs generally? And the answer is probably yes. It's just how much. Yeah. But I think a lot of that has been priced in. It's just a matter of, you know, is it 100% priced in? At least most of it, I think, has.
Yeah, if you're a long-term, John, you should be okay with it. I kind of like the industry. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for the call. Long-term, you know, most people have trouble thinking long-term.
Yeah.
You know, they say they are.
Yeah.
But then they...
I think you could see one more push lower. You know, when the Fed raises rates, everyone freaks out about rates really skyrocketing or something like that. I think you could see one more push of downward pressure on REITs and other interest rate sensitive sectors.
The car unions negotiated a deal, several years contract last week, and all of them, everybody's getting a raise. Okay, now this only affects about 140,000 workers when there's about 1 million workers in the industry total. But think about it. If they're getting a raise and cars are selling really well, don't you think all the other related industry people are probably going to give their employees raises? And the answer would probably be yes. We just don't know how much. Now, the question is how much is that going to affect the bottom line? How much is that raising of salaries going to affect the economy with that money being spent? And no one really knows that.
When does it take effect?
At the beginning of the year.
Beginning, I got you.
And an interesting stat. In 2005, the average worker that made $22.51. Today, they make $21.56. Mm, so 10 years of no increase.
Yeah.
That's a long haul. Of course, remember GM went bankrupt and, you know, there's problems all of them. Interesting, though, stat. Interesting. 888-99-CHURCH, how you can reach me. You can reach up both of us anytime you want. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. We're live right now. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley with Justin Klein, and you're listening to Invest Talk, a service of KPP Financial.
Here's another benefit when you sign up for our Invest Talk Insider program, a brief list of real estate investment trusts, REITs, that should be on investors' radar if they're looking for exposure to this dividend-focused sector. You can sign up for this free InvestTalk Insider program on investtalk.com. Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. As Steve and Justin remind you regularly, it's critical to perform regular checkups to assess your strategy, asset allocation, individual holdings. Steve conducts portfolio reviews by Skype or telephone to anywhere in the U.S. He works with clients all over the country. To take advantage of this free review, just go to investtalk.com and click on Schedule a Meeting. There's no obligation. The staff will take care of all the details. And thanks again for subscribing to our podcast.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike?
Good, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I was just curious to know that what are your thoughts might be for Sunetis and SUNE, please?
I'm not really keen on it. They've been losing money for, you know, what, 4 years in a row. They're going to lose $3.83 this year. Next year, going to lose $1.65. So they're going to lose less money next year. That doesn't make me feel good at all, warm and fuzzy. It does not.
Yeah. Well, it rebounded recently. It collapsed, really, because of some deal with their. Can you explain it a little bit better, Mike? Do you know the deal with the margin loan that they had called? Do you know anything about that?
And then they repaid?
No, I don't. I was just looking for a trade for possibly, you know, just kind of beating down a little bit.
Oh, well, if you're looking for a trade, yeah, I mean, it's oversold and it's starting to get a bounce. You know, it was up huge today, with 40% today or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say it's going to get much above $6 and change. That's about the max you have out of it. But it's extremely risky. I mean, yes, it's over. It was oversold. It's starting to get a bounce. But what I would do is have a tight stop on it, maybe 10%. 10% stop, and then
you could trade the stock, but fundamentally,
it looks terrible from a fundamental perspective.
Okay, Mike, appreciate
it. Sure.
Thanks, thank you for the call. Now, some economic news: Germany business confidence rises unexpectedly, and remember, Germany's economy is 20% of the EU. That's one of the reasons why I watch Germany. What's going on in Germany kind of affects not only the EU, but it also kind of gives you a little signal what's going on in China. Because China is Germany's biggest trading partner.
It's the third largest economy in the world.
Yeah, exactly. Now, so what's happened is their confidence index was it rose when they expected it to fall. The confidence, not of consumers, but of business people. So I kind of felt that, well, maybe we're finally going to see something positive come out of the EU maybe in the next year. Remember, they're talking about doing another kind of stimulus project package of some kind. They're in the middle of their EU. Well, I don't know. Is it in the middle? They were supposed to be. They're still doing it. It's been going on for about a year.
Yeah, it's going to go through September and likely go on through past that.
Yeah, and they might change it and increase it to change to Greece. Mm-hmm. Greece committed to maintaining their responsibilities to the EU. And it got them another €2 billion out of the 92 billion bailout package. So they're still on that same path of trying to meet the demands of the EU for all the money they've been borrowing.
Yeah, and that sparked more protests.
Yeah. I don't know if this is going to solve anything.
It's never going to. Greece is going to go bankrupt at some point. It's just a matter of how long do they kick the can, and they seem to be kicking the can longer than most people.
It's pretty good.
Expect.
Yeah, it looks like another maybe year or two. Or three. Who knows?
Their can kicking foot is getting mighty strong.
Yeah, it's a great foot. Yeah, they should make golf or soccer. South Africa. Why? Maybe even talking about South Africa. South Africa because it's the largest economy in Africa. Mm-hmm. Largest. And
it's not saying a whole lot. But.
That's not. But, you know, I like to keep an eye on the entire world to see what's happening. And I like to look at the bigger economies in the various parts of the world. And they avoided a recession by having GDP growth at 0.7% in the third quarter after shrinking 1.3% in the second quarter. So they look like, you know, it's at least not falling apart.
So what is this all telling you?
I think what this is telling you, we're seeing stabilization. Okay. Not anything great. Mm-hmm. But at least stability, as I, you know, this is not the only thing I look at. This is just three. But it looks like we're seeing maybe China stabilizing. Maybe if that's the case, that's all at least the first step to getting back on the right path.
Does that mean central banks are going to stop printing money?
No, I think I do not. I think they're going to continue.
So they're addicted to making the market addicted.
Yep. I don't see that changing until we have another huge financial economic recession.
But then they would just do more, right?
Well, it didn't work the first time. They might, they might do more. Never know. Our hour's up. Maybe there's a question that you didn't get a chance to ask. Well, please do so. You can ask us anytime you want. 888-99-CHART. Leave the question. We'll answer it on the next program. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley along with Justin Klein. And for everybody at KPP Financial, we wanted you to have a great evening, and thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities.
Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.